If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. I want to read verses 23 to 25. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Oh, for God. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What I want to speak about today is the unchangeable priesthood. The priesthood and the high priest in particular are types of our Lord Jesus Christ and types of his work also. Now, we have referenced and will reference again, we are priests now unto God. And as a form, we can see that in the family of priests. They were all Levites. They were all one family that serviced in the tabernacle. But those priests back then, when they offered sacrifices for sin, that's not us. That's Christ. We offer now the sacrifice of praise unto our God whom we know. But here, priests, and especially the high priest, are pictures and type of Christ and his work, not our work. This chapter actually starts off with Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God. He's the one to whom Abraham paid tithes. It says, well, I got my little bookmark in the way. In the last verse of chapter 6, verse 20, it says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Then it goes on in chapter 7. Jesus, our forerunner, is called by God a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Then in chapter 7 he begins and gives us a little description of Melchizedek. He was without mother, without father. He was without descent. He had neither beginning of days nor end of life. Now you can call this whatever you want. You can call it a theophany. You can call it a Christophany. But this, Melchizedek, was a visitation of our Lord to this earth at one time. And that's why he is a priest, high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's the reality that we have now. But Melchizedek was a reality. The reality being Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, our great high priest. Starting in verse 24, we have this statement. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Okay, first word is but. That's denoting a separation from verse 23, which I read. And they were truly many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There were many high priests. That office was appointed by God. That office was set up by God in the Old Testament. But they were not allowed to continue. Why? Because they died. And he stated, you'll find it in Leviticus and other places, high priest was to be a high priest for life. So afterlife, they had to get another high priest. But this man is different. This man is entirely different. This word is used to separate the antitype, the reality, from those types. All the priests, high priests in particular, in the case in this chapter, were in verse 23. But there is one man, this man, who is high priest forever. This man, our great high priest, is a man. And it's singular. It was many priests in verse 23, but it's only one in verse 24. The writer of Hebrews also very plainly throughout this epistle emphasizes and reminds us totally of the humanity and the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at that in verse 20 of chapter 6, whither the forerunner for us has entered, what's it say? Even Jesus. It doesn't say the Lord Jesus, although he is. It doesn't say Christ the Lord, although he is. Our high priest is emphasized here as a man. And then he comes to this verse, but this man, this is the man. There is no other man. There is no other man. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 put it this way, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Now don't hold fast to your profession, hold fast your profession. There's a world of difference there because the entire world around us, you've heard it, you know I have. I can tell you the place and take you there where I made my profession and I'm holding on to that. No, you hold on to him who is your profession. Amen. We have a great high priest. And his name is Jesus. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow. He is Lord. He is Christ. He is God. But he is man. This man was the sacrifice for sin. And guess what? There was only one sacrifice. Only one true sacrifice. All those other sacrifices pointed toward this sacrifice. Just like there's only one Passover. I said this a few weeks ago. There's only one Passover. After the Passover, we have the memorial of the Passover. But there was only one Passover. And that Passover freed people from Egypt, God's people. This sacrifice, there's only one. This man, but this man who was sacrificed for sin for us once and only once. But this man was also the man that was raised from the dead. It was not possible that death could hold him. And yet, it's this man. This man who offered himself to the Father, who brought his precious blood as an offering for the sins of the people. That one sacrifice, that one offering. He'll go into that in Hebrews 9 and 10. Great detail. Wonderful detail. But it is his precious blood, the blood of this man that was offered to God. And the Father totally accepted that offering. And how did he offer it up? He offered it up as our high priest. Because this man, but this man, is the man whom the Father accepted. Totally and completely. In all his offices, in all his works, and in his death, in his burial, his resurrection, and his offering. But this man. This is the man whom the Father accepted. It said, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. But then it says, because he continueth ever. I looked up the definition of because. Walter, I liked it too. It's an English definition. A primary preposition denoting the channel of an act. There's an act involved. This is the cause of it. That's what the word because means. It acts through this channel and only through this channel. Because this man is the first cause of all things. This man, because he continueth ever, everything continues. And the thing is that what it's stating here, because he continues. It's not we that's continuing. That's not what we're talking about here. Although we are to continue. We're talking about him continuing. This man continues. That's what it says in verse 23. The other many priests, they were not suffered what? To continue. They weren't suffered to continue because of death. But this man continues ever. I do want to stress this because I do want to make sure I identify the cause. Here is where everything is. It's in him. Everything to do with the high priest, everything to do with the sacrifice, everything to do with the offering, everything to do with the results of that offering, the results of his work is because he continues ever. He is our hope, he is our life, and he is all our salvation. Why? Because he continues. He is the high priest with God. He made the offering, and he was the offering. He is the mercy seat, and he is the one who sprinkled his own blood upon the mercy seat. And he's the ark underneath the mercy seat. Why? Because he continueth ever. Because this word continue is present active tense. He continues in his offices. Prophet, priest, and king. He is all three and the only one who has ever been all three. And the one who still is all three. Here we're talking about his priesthood. That's an office. Because he continues. Of his being the prophet, there is no end. Of his high priesthood, there is no end. And of his kingdom, there is no end. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the eternal Son. No beginning and no end. He continues. Now, I said it before, I'll say it again. The offering was only made once. The offering was only made once. The sacrifice was only made once. But he continues. Actually, it's and he continues, not but he continues. And he continues. He continues in the office of great high priest. And the work of that priesthood continues ever because he continues ever. He hath an unchangeable priesthood. It's never going to change. It never has changed. This is what this whole book, from the beginning to the end, is all about. It's all about Jesus Christ and his work. His performing for the glory of the Father. Because this word hath is present, active, indicative. It's right now. He hath an unchangeable priesthood. It's right now. And it's active. Because he continues in his office, the priesthood, his priesthood, continues. Unchangeable means not passing away, perpetual, and it also means non-transferable. There is no other high priest. There never will be another high priest. There is Christ. There is Jesus. This man. In the Old Testament, there were two types of priests. There was the priest, and then there was the high priest. Priest, plural, but only one high priest at a time. But they were both types, like I said, pointing toward Christ Jesus. He is the priest, and he is the high priest, and right now he continues ever. There is no more sacrifice for sin. But he is performing the work that that sacrifice and that offering purchased. He's continuing on in his priesthood. Everything in and about and of the Old Testament tabernacle is Jesus Christ. That goes for the design, the materials, the construction, the furnishers, the furnishings, the furniture, offerings, and the priesthood. All of it from beginning to end points to the one who was to come and who did come. Because all of those things point toward his character, his appearance, his pureness, his life, his perfection, his mercy, his love, fullness, his grace, his deity, his offering of the perfection to the Father. His offering of his blood for our redemption. His becoming our scapegoat and carrying away the sins of his people. The high priest was high priest for as long as he lived. And this man ever lives. This man has an unchangeable priesthood because he is not just a man. This man, this Jesus, is God manifest in the flesh. This man did die. I said it before. But death could not hold him who is life. And he was not forced to die. He died voluntarily. I remember the movie Little Big Man when that old Indian said that today's a good day to die, and he lays down. Then he gets rained on and he wakes up. There have been myths where people could do this, but this was the only man that could lay down his life voluntarily. His death was a part of his priestly office. I'll give you another piece of an exercise in biblical logic if you want. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, when is he our great high priest? He always has been our great high priest. From beginning to end. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords now. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords before the foundation of the world. He's our great high priest now. He's always been our great high priest. He came and he performed the work of his office here on this earth, and now in heaven continues ever with his unchangeable priesthood. He is before seated. I said it right that time. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Acceptable. Jesus, this man, is high priest forever. He was swore that by an oath. The Lord said, I tabbed it just a second. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's Psalm 110 and verse 4. Hebrews 6 and 20 quotes it. Thou art a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What do we know of Melchizedek? I'll tell you one thing I just thought of the other day. He was a high priest of God until he wasn't. He had no beginning of days, no end of life. That's all we know. Without father, without mother, without descent, without beginning of days, without end of days. That's all we know about Melchizedek. But we know more about the Lord Jesus Christ because of what is written in this book. After that order, this man is high priest forever. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You want to know what the unchangeable priesthood is? This is it right here. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And then it tells you how. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's the unchangeable priesthood of Christ right now. Wherefore? What's there before that? You look and see what it's there for. He hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, because of this unchangeable priesthood, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. He is able. And that word able means power. That's what it is. It's a variation of the word dunamis, ability. He is capable. He is able. What? To save. Our high priest, our great high priest, is able to save. Now it does save them. And it does give a description there. Walter said it on the radio last week. If you don't fit the description, the scripture's not talking about you. I'm not putting the qualifiers in. The qualifiers are written down. This is what it says. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now, to the uttermost is the full end. That's what it means. It means all complete. It means perfect. It's not talking about where you came from. It's talking about where you're going. It's talking about the end of our salvation. Our salvation is not through. Peter put it this way. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. There is more to this salvation than this life. This is speaking of the completion of salvation. Our salvation is complete in Christ. There's nothing left to obtain our salvation. But there is more to our salvation than what we have here in this life. Paul said it, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. There is more to our salvation than this life. But it does include our life, our being what? Brought to God by him in time. It's there. The word come means, guess what? Come. Draw near, to attend. Again, by figuratively mean worship. And the word by him is actually the same word that was used in the other verse and translated because. It's a primary preposition denoting the channel of an act. I like that definition. I do. If you don't come by him, you don't come. If you don't come by him, he's not talking to you. And I can't make it any clearer than that. You understand? He's not saving to the uttermost all those that come unto God by their free will, by their decision, by their profession, by their heritage, or anything else. Excuse me. All those that come unto God by Him. And guess what? We're still talking about this man, this Jesus, this high priest. It's the same person. If you don't fit the criteria, the writer's not talking about you. He is writing to those and about those who have come to God by Him. This is in time. It's not talking about election. It's not talking about reprobation. This is talking about those who have come to Him. He is able to the uttermost to save all them that come to Him. Come to God by Him. John 6:44. No man can come unto me. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. What? And I will raise him up at the last day. He's able to save to the uttermost, to the complete, full end, all them that come unto God by him. Isn't that what John just wrote? That Christ said? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's our great high priest. He is all. Amen. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Or ye are not in Christ Jesus. It's of him. It's of God. He is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. This is part of his high priestly office, his unchangeable priesthood. This is his work. Seeing he ever liveth, he is life. Therefore, he is the source of all life. But he ever liveth, and it says, to make intercession for them. Now, I do want to state one thing clearly here. And because I have heard people talk about this. Our intercession, or the intercession of the high priest for his people, is not a fight. He's not pleading with God, don't kill us. You understand? That's not the kind of intercession we're talking about. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? This is not that Christ has to continually intercede, oh, God's going to get you for that. No. This, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, who is the Lord? Well, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. They know, he knows them that are his. These three are one. It's not that kind of intercession. But that's the way the world wants to portray it. It's the fact that, oh, you're so bad. No, no, no. Christ's blood is sufficient. Christ's blood was complete. Christ's offering was perfect. In Romans 3, you'll see let me just turn there for just a second, because I don't want to get it backwards. At the end of Romans 3, you will find a wonderful statement. And I've heard people misuse this one too. It's Romans 3 and verse 25. It says, whom God, speaking of Christ, hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now I've heard people talk about that right there, and they'll sit there and they'll tell you this, that see, God forgave all your sins you did in the past before he saved you. Now you got to take care of the ones now. No. A, you can't. And B, he's got an unchangeable priesthood. He ever liveth to make intercession. But it does say for sins that are past. But I always draw their attention down to right here, let's see, verse 8 of chapter 4, where it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Because there's your past and there's your future right there. And guess what? You got a great high priest who is in the heavens, whoever liveth to make intercession. We are to confess our sins, and he is faithful, just. He will take care. It's not a struggle between the Son and the Father to intercede for us. The Son and the Father and the Spirit are all of one mind. The Lord knoweth them that are his. It's not that kind of deal. But that's what everybody talks about it. We have a high priest now. He ever liveth. We have one who has gone into the presence of God and has obtained eternal redemption for us. He entered once into that holy place, not made with hands. There was a picture in the Old Testament of the old holy place. He entered into the real thing once, offered his blood for sin. Those sacrifices in the Old Testament went on and on, every day and every year. But this man has made one offering for sin forever, and he has sat down, completely accepted of the Father. Our great high priest is with God now. He was made flesh and he dwelt among us. He did die the death that we couldn't die. He was raised from the dead, and he did ascend into heaven. And I remember, Walter, the first time Earl said that, there is a man seated at the right hand of the Father. It's this man, this Jesus, our great high priest, and his unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This man is our great high priest. He hath saved his people from their sins. And he shall save us to the uttermost. That's an end time thing too. Until the end of time, when time shall be no longer, it's going to happen. He has promised and he is able to perform. I'm looking for that day to be saved to the uttermost. To be saved to completion. To be saved and raised up again at that day. That's what I'm looking for. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. All you're doing with us, in us, through us. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from you, from the Father of lights. Thank you, Lord. Be with Walter as he comes to bring the word to us today. And we ask everything in your Son's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.